Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the State of Florida Sports Podcast, presented by the USA Today Network. Here's your host, Tim Walters.
May is here and the weather is heating up, which means one thing: high school football is back. Football fields at high schools across the state are bustling, and spring games are just days away. And while those games don't bring the type of excitement as games on Fridays in the fall, it's still a great way to see future players of your favorite teams. Today, I welcome back my good friend and fellow 80s wrestling aficionado, John Santucci, who also happens to be the USA Today State of Florida high school sports and recruiting expert. He's been researching the more than 500 high school football teams from around the state, and he's here today to share that mastery. Hello again, everybody. I'm Tim Walters, and thank you once again for joining me on the State of Florida Sports Podcast, powered by the USA Today Network. We were recently named the number one sports podcast in the state by Feedspot.com. Thanks to FeedSpot for that honor. As always, this podcast utilizes our Florida Sports Network of beat writers, columnists, and some special guests to bring you up to speed on the most important sports topics. Our Florida network consists of 17 news sites that encompass the state. We encourage you to subscribe to your hometown newspaper, and of course this podcast, to help support the incredible journalism done by our talented staffs. If John Santucci shows up at a school to check out its football team, there's likely something special going on at that school. John knows who the players are and which are the teams to watch, and he goes out to see them with his own two eyes. Let's bring in John now to hear what he's been seeing. Hey, John, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, man, thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. So over the last few weeks, we've been seeing spring practices all over the state, and the games, of course, are coming up in the next few weeks. Many teams will be looking to reload while others are looking to rebuild across the state. So who are some of the teams that you've been visiting or will be visiting and watching spring games of as the spring progresses? Because I know you're not a huge fan of spring games, but you also got to go out and see some of these players who are the future here.
All right. So to clarify that statement, I do like spring games. I don't like spring games in the analysis of this team is the best in the state. You know, like I just feel like so many teams are playing very vanilla offenses and defenses and not scheming for their opponents. And, you know, I caution myself and other people against reading too much into it. So that's the only reason why I don't really embrace spring games from that perspective. But I love them as far as getting to see guys. To answer your question, I've been to Vero Beach. I've been all over your neck of the woods in Brevard. I've been to Cocoa, O'Galley, Heritage. Where else have I been? St. Lucie West Centennial. Tried to stay, you know, mostly within the Treasure Coast and Brevard during the first week. And then this week I'll be in Miami and Fort Lauderdale and Palm Beach County. And then the week after that, Orlando and Tampa. And then the week after that, all over the state, wherever there's a spring game left. So it's a lot of moving parts these 3 weeks, you know?
Yeah, your chauffeur and your limousine are going to be putting on a lot of mileage.
Yes, and thank you for providing that for me. Yeah, right, chauffeur, limousine.
All right, well, hopefully at least gas prices. Maybe they'll start coming down a little bit for your sake. But hey, Gannett's paying for it, so that's all right.
Yeah, don't say that too loud. They might decide not to. So,
alrighty, then back to the next subject at hand. So, John, the FHSAA is once again messing with its classifications. I kind of liked what they were doing with the rural and metro, but apparently they just have to mess with things. So, you know, bring us up to speed on what the latest is there, how they're going to be splitting things back up, how what's old is new again.
Yeah, so I really liked Metro Suburban because I'm a big fan of competitive balance. You know, when you when you see a team like Chaminade being the number two team in the state and they're in the smallest classification in Florida, then clearly your enrollment doesn't matter. I'm sorry, number two team in the nation, not the state. You know, Miami Central a couple years ago won one of the national championships in the country. They were in a smaller class. So clearly the enrollment size should not be a factor when you're one of the best teams in the country. And obviously both of those teams are from South Florida. There might be something there with, you know, population density and things like that. So I thought Metro Suburban handled a lot of those issues. The official word is that, you know, some people felt that, you know, basically Metro Suburban wasn't accomplishing what they hoped it would. Nobody knows what those variables are because last year the state championships were all very good for the most part, except, of course, for Chaminade. The reality is there were several schools in South Florida that were very upset about basically South Florida winning fewer championships. That the, you know, basically you had to run a really hard gauntlet to get out of South Florida. And that some teams in South Florida that are used to winning state championships no longer were under Metro Suburban because there were fewer to win. So now what they've done is they've gone back to the only variable in the state that they'll factor is school enrollment. I think we've got seven classes, and you can, if you're a fan of parity, this is not for you because you can pretty much go through right now and decide what four teams are going to be in the final four fairly easily. To South Florida's credit, though, they got it so that their teams and their powerhouses are all spread out. So you can pretty much already guess which of those South Florida teams are going to be in the state final. So I don't personally like it, if you could not tell by all the words I'm using, but it's what we have. So there was also an argument when this first came up that they were going to have an open division that would have the best teams, the best eight teams in the state all in one class or one playoff bracket, regardless of what class they were in. So I think it would have been like Chaminade, Coco, St. Thomas Aquinas, a couple others. I apologize. I'm blanking on who those are, but I think Miami Norland would have been in there. I don't think that will ever pass because the same people in South Florida are not going to want to, they're not going to want to do that. Chaminade will play anybody. Miami Central will play anybody. There are other teams, state powers that are nationally known that they want to play a fairly easy schedule. And that's all that they want to do. So unfortunately that, I just don't think it'll pass. I think there's too many teams in South Florida that will fight that. And clearly they're the only ones fighting Metro Suburban and they won that. So I don't think they're going to flip it the other way.
Yeah. I mean, it just stinks though, because they were winning, you know, obviously Miami wins a lot of titles. They never wanted to play each other. We finally had a nice diverse range of teams around the state winning state titles. And now it's going to go back to five or six titles are from South Florida. So, oh, well, you know, maybe they'll change it again in 2 years because, like I said, they like to change things around with the FHSAA, so we'll keep an eye on that. Of course, another big issue here, John, is NIL, you know, obviously name, image, and likeness. Coming to a high school near you, if that doesn't sound like a nightmare, I don't know what it is. You know, Jimmy the football player, he's making more money than his teacher, and he's going to let her know it in class and be disruptive. So ought to be interesting. Football coaches, who knows how they're going to handle all of this. So why don't you catch us up exactly where this is as far as it coming to Florida? How on earth are they going to legislate it? And, you know, just tell us what you know.
All right. Well, first of all, I don't think Jimmy has to be disrespectful just because he's making more than his English teacher. But, you know, let me say this just off the bat, because I gave my opinion on Metro Suburban. I don't have a problem with it. You know, we live in a free market. There's, you know, we're getting it from college players. So if there is a play like last year, the number one player in the state was Jeremiah Smith, who's now at Ohio State. Was it Chaminade? Quite frankly, I think he's the best player I've ever seen in high school. If Adidas or Nike or whoever wants to give him $1 million because of all that he brings to the table, I have no problem with that. And, you know, we had a girl last year at Bartram Trail, a lacrosse player, one of the best in the nation, who was offered something to promote a brand, basically be a brand ambassador. And the FHSAA said no. And I think that was like a $5,000 or something. If that's what NIL is and that's what NIL is supposed to be, I'm all for it. What we have right now in the country in colleges is NIL means we're going to pay you to play. And I'm not in favor of that, because I do think that there are teams that cheat. There are already teams that cheat, right? We know that. There will be teams that are now cheating. You know, you'll get a local business that says, hey, I'll give everybody $3,000 to play. And all of a sudden you've bought one of the best teams in the state. That's what I think the FHSA needs to worry about. To answer your question, it is coming. My guess is that they will have something in place in June that will say, here's what NIL will look like. From the people I've talked to, I don't expect it to be a rubber stamp on the entire NIL process, meaning I don't think we're going to have like, hey, anybody can do it. But what I think it will be is, if it's a legitimate brand representation, if the local pizza shop wants to give this kid $300 to, you know, put out a Instagram post, whatever it is, I think that they'll have to approve it. And I think as long as it's a legitimate business, they will approve it. So, but I think that's what we'll see. And I think that will be in place by the end of June.
Wow. I wonder how many people they're going to have who have to approve this. Whose job is that? How many requests are they going to have? It's just going to be crazy. And then, John, tell me if I understand this wrong, because we're in the early phases of reporting on a story here in Brevard County, and it's also going to be part of a larger story for the state. It's that, you know, the cost of playing high school sports now, even, you know, youth sports, is out, you know, it's outlandish, some of the things, because you have to pay for all of this stuff. But if you go to School A, which is the best school in the county, and Nike's a sponsor, and they're giving cleats and pads and all of that stuff, then, you know, that school obviously is in much better shape than School B, who is not, you know, on that level. The kids have to all buy their own equipment, so they all want to go to School A, and School B is 0-10. So, you know, some of it in a way kind of exists already. And then they changed the rule where kids can transfer to whatever school they want to go to. So, I mean, this is just kind of an avenue for the players to actually pocket money, but also by not having expenses. Hasn't that always kind of been something that benefits the kids going to the better schools?
Yeah, and I think the biggest area that we've seen this traditionally has been kids going to private school, right? Because, you know, some kids are able to get scholarships and things like that, where maybe if they weren't a football player or a basketball player, they wouldn't be able to. There is always going to be an inequity in high school sports. That's just the reality. And because, like you said, we have open enrollment and things like that, I don't see a path to bridging that gap anytime soon. It's rough. And like you said, though, the expense of putting on a game on a Friday night is tremendous. You know, people don't realize all the different things and all the different people that have their hands out that need money, or that are, you know, it's not just people paying to buy a ticket. There's a lot of extra expenses. It costs money just to turn the lights on, you know, and those are big lights. So, the expense is not going down, right? It's not going down in any part of our lives right now. And it will continue to be a struggle. And at the same time, and I'm going to add this, because I don't think we were talking about this part of it, we're still having this argument of why aren't coaches paid more, specifically football coaches. And I think there's going to be some coaches that get mad when I say football, but the reality is that football funds at almost every school in the state, football funds all the other sports. So when one person is responsible for driving the bus and keeping everybody else safe, kind of, I think that person should get paid more. So that is the underlying thing that not enough people are talking about right now, is coach pay. and how that's going to factor in.
And, you know, there's one big thing that a lot of people don't realize is all that revenue made on a Friday night doesn't all go to the football team. Our non-sports reporters were surprised to find out the parking money might go to, like, you know, the ROTC, and the concessions might go to the cheerleaders. So all of those things that are making money on that Friday night because of the football game are actually going to other parts of the program. And then the other thing, John, this is, you know, this is, as we talk about raises for coaches, one of the schools I know of in our area, because they're going to have to pay their coaches more, their way to offset that is to have one fewer coach or two fewer coaches. So now, great, they're getting raises, but now there are fewer coaches to help the kids out. So who's that benefiting? So it just seems like there's got to be a better way.
Well, I don't know if there's a better way, because I don't know where the money's going to come from. You know, like, I don't know anybody who's sitting here arguing that coaches don't deserve a raise. I don't know where the money comes from. That's my only hesitation. I've talked to athletic directors around the state of Florida. They don't know where the money's supposed to come from. So that's an issue. And I don't know what the remedy for that issue is. You know, I've talked to, I've just talked to a lot of people that are all very confused as to how it's going to work. Now, the thing you mentioned, that is a series of one-way streets with the football. So you mentioned, right, when you pay for parking at a public institution with, you know, that your tax is paid for and you got to pay for parking, I don't think that's fair, but that's just me. That money all goes to the ROTC, right, usually, or another group. And usually even concessions are done by, you know, either a club or another team for football games. So I know some schools, like, hey, the golf team is going to get this date in October, and the basketball team or whatever is going to get this date in November, and however it works, right? Football is never allowed to work concessions at a basketball game. They're not allowed. Everybody's allowed to put their hands in football's pockets. Football has to keep their hands to themselves. So it's just a very interesting reality from the jump that football is treated differently. They are expected to, like you said, cheerleaders, band, everybody profits off them, and they are expected to be self-sustaining at the same time.
Well, maybe we need to run for office, John. How's Walter Santucci 2028 for president?
No, not doing it. The only thing, the only thing that I would do as president is people who go below the speed limit would be put in jail.
Yeah, you know what? I think we would probably be able to unite both houses of Congress and both sides of the aisle with an issue like that. See, John? Maybe we could solve some problems. All right. Is there anything else about the FHSAA or anything else that they are looking at doing, changing, adding before we start talking about more football again?
No, NIL is obviously the biggest one, and understandably so. And like I said, I think we'll have resolution in the next 2 months or so.
All righty. So let's get back to football then. You know, we have an incredible crop of 2025 graduates who will be going on to play college from the state of Florida. Highlight some of those players that you're going to be watching who are going to be seniors this year, and, you know, who most likely will be going up to their college campuses by January.
Yeah, Zephyr Hills, I'm going to just call him defensive back. You could probably even say athlete, because he's that good of a wide receiver as well as a cornerback or a safety. But DJ Pickett's the number one player on our list. I don't know of anybody in the country that has a different number one player in Florida than DJ Pickett. He's so long. He's so athletic. He just stands out in every way, right? And so, you know, I've been to 7-on-7s with him where he's a cornerback and he literally just shuts down one third of the field that the quarterback won't even look that way, because what's the point? Very few guys in the state, certainly at any grade, have that kind of ability to just shut down a field. We've known about DJ for several years. You know, his cousin and his uncle both, his cousin is currently at Miami. His uncle went to Miami. So certainly the Hurricanes are in the mix for him. Solomon Raines out of Jacksonville. I'm sorry, Solomon Thomas from Raines High School in Jacksonville. The premier offensive lineman in the state of Florida. Unbelievable, remarkable balance. Just freakish for any size, quite frankly, but for his size, you know, I remember I went to one camp and they were doing some agility, just some stretching before, and every other lineman for certain stretches, they're balancing themselves, they're putting their hands on the ground, and he's over there looking like he could just balance on one leg most of the time, just effortlessly. He's a mammoth inside lineman. Florida State, if they can hold on to him, is going to feel very, very good about that. And then our number three is Dallas Wilson, wide receiver from Tampa Bay Tech. Tampa Bay Tech actually has two standout wide receivers. Santonio Isaac is the other one. But he's committed to Oregon. I know Miami and some other teams are pushing really, really hard for him. Just another phenomenal player, right? And just a big, big body. Can go up and get it. It's got really good speed. Every time I see him, I'm more and more impressed with just his size and ability. So those are the top three guys. But honestly, once again, the state is loaded with talent. I don't know if we have the same number of five stars that we had a year ago. We had so many elite players last year, but the depth this year is really good.
All right. I like that name. It sounds like a star, DJ Pickett. Good stuff there, John. Top three. And of course, you know, we also, as you mentioned, he might go to Miami. When you look at the recruiting classes from around the state, the big four now, no longer the big three, the big four, Miami, Florida, Florida State, and UCF. Whose recruiting classes do you like the best right now?
Well, Florida State's got two of the top four players on the list, right? In Solomon Thomas and Javion Hilson out of Coco. So it's hard not to be enamored with what they've been able to put together. You know, Miami is, they did such a good job in the portal recently, getting, you know, the number one running back and the number one wide receiver in the spring transfer window. So, and obviously also some good defensive help. So I think if you're a Hurricanes fan, I know that's more about this coming season, but you got to feel pretty good right now. And Miami usually makes their big push in late June, early July. That's really when you'll start to see names getting committed to the Canes from the 2025 class. I would expect this year to be much the same. Florida State, you know, like I said, they've got some names. They just got a player in the 2026 class out of Armwood who's going to be really good. So, you know, they're doing well. Florida, again, another school that I think they're really going to look hard into that first window. I know they've got a lot of players they really like coming in June, and they do have some commitments. Jalen Wiggins out of Tallahassee is already committed, one of the top edge rushers in the state. So, and UCF's done well. Honestly, the school I think I'm actually most impressed with right now, just based on where they've been and where they're headed, is USF. I think they've done a great job. I'm a huge Lachlan Hewlett fan out of St. Augustine, the quarterback. They've got some really intriguing players like Brooks Williams out of Centennial, who's 6'6", 215, and really raw and kind of under the radar, but a guy that I think, you know, if he can just put on a little more weight and honestly get seen by a few more coaches, I think he's going to blow up. So they've got quite a few of those players that are right on the cusp of being really big recruits. And I love what USF's done with this class.
6'6", 215. That sounds like you and I, right?
Combined, yes.
Yes,
not if we the were weight, but definitely the height.
If we were in totem pole form, yes. All right, John. So, you know, just a couple more questions here. You know, I always like to get a bit myopic because one of the best football programs in the state is about 15 minutes from my house, and that's Coco High School. Now, IMG Academy, they've retooled the schedule to fit Coco into its 2024 schedule. So, IMG, they're a football factory. Coco, yes, it's a power school, but it's in a city of less than 20,000, and it's easily one of the more economically challenged in Brevard County. So how on earth can they stack up against IMG? I know they got some wonderful talent, but boy, is that a tall order.
I think you stack up with the state's best defensive player in Javion Hilson. You stack up with, you know, last year's Mr. Florida in Javon Boggs. You stack up with one of the better quarterbacks in the state in Brady Hart. You stack up with one of the best centers in the nation in Sandman Thompson. And, you know, they've got other talent, too. That's just literally off top of my head. D.L. Hardison, who transferred in from O'Galley, is going to be really good, right? I mean, he led O'Galley last year. I think he's an outstanding receiver, and he's going to take a lot of pressure off Boggs, or Boggs is going to take so much coverage responsibilities from other teams that D.L. Hardison is going to be single covered all day, every night, and that's just going to be a nightmare for teams. I'm not saying they're going to win that game, right? But I love what Coach Schneider told me when I was asking about the game. He said, look, yeah, we have to play IMG, but IMG also has to play us, and we're coming to win, you know? And so, again, are they going to get, you know, on paper, do they look like IMG? Absolutely not, but they have a lot of talent. This is a team that went to a much, a far superior on paper Aquinas team last year and basically won the game on the field if the referees don't cheat on Aquinas' behalf. And I'm not saying Aquinas cheated, just for those lunatics that hear that and say that I'm saying that. You know, had the referees not cheated, there's no way Coco loses that game. So you're talking about a really, really good Coco program. If Brady Hart is on, I don't discount them. I just don't. They'll score with anybody.
Well, looking really forward to that game. That one's going to be awesome. I'm sure you'll probably be there for that one, John, because I can't imagine there's going to be a bigger game in the state, although there could be, because we have that much good football. Over 500 programs in the state. We've got, you know, 66,000 square miles in the state of Florida. So a lot of territory to cover, a lot of great games. Also, John, one other thing, you know, the NFL draft just passed. Any state of Florida high school graduates of note that you want to get out there that were drafted into the NFL?
You know, I would think if anybody's listening to this and they're an NFL fan, they already know who they are, right? Michael Penix obviously was a bit of a surprise, you know, as Florida had six players taken in the first round. I'm not saying Penix didn't have first round talent. If you look at his film from Indiana, if he doesn't get hurt, he's a no doubt, you know, top 10 pick. You just wondered with his injury history, you know, kind of what would happen with him. But yeah, Florida has had, I believe, over 50 first-round talent or players selected in the last decade. Six more this year, which was awesome. So, yeah, we run the show.
All right. Well, maybe you and I, totem pole style, could become a lineman in the NFL.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, we'd get knocked down, and our totem would get broken very easily.
I'm not worried about getting knocked down. I'm worried about getting knocked out. So, no, I am not going to sign up for that with you. So,
I imagine I'd be the one on your shoulders because you're a little burlier than me. So my head's going to hit the ground a lot harder than yours will.
Still not signing up for that, just to be clear.
Right now, people are Googling what the two of us look like, and they're imagining it as a totem pole. I hope you're not doing that. If you are,
anybody so. Googling what I look like, I just want to apologize in advance and know I'm not on a wanted poster anywhere.
Oh, come on. Your face matches your voice, John.
And my voice is pretty ugly. Anyways, keep going.
All righty. Well, is there anything else, aside from us talking about how dashing and strong we are, that you want to get in front of the audience before you go?
I'm not sure I got dashing and strong from what I was putting out there, but no, I'm good, man.
All righty. Well, John's work can be found on all 17 of our state websites. Things like Jacksonville.com, PalmBeachPost.com, Naples.com, FloridaToday.com, TCPalm.com. I could go through them all, Gainesville.com, Tallahassee.com, but, you know, tons of Gannett and Florida Today, or I'm sorry, USA Today, Florida Sports Network sites in the state. So, John, people will be looking for all of that, but sometimes it's just easier to find you on social media because I'm sure you put all your links out there. So where are they going to find that?
At John Santucci.
J-O-N, no H, J-O-N-S-A-N-T-U-C-C-I, John Santucci. All right, John, well, I appreciate it, as always. It's a pleasure talking to you, and, you know, like I said, your knowledge is only surpassed by your good looks.
Then I'm not very bright. Anyways.
Well, we'll talk again right before the season starts, and I'll try and find other ways to flatter you.
Okay.
And that will do it for another episode of the State of Florida Sports Podcast. I'm Tim Walters, and to quote Alexander Graham Bell, patented the first telephone, a man, as a general rule, owes very little to what he is born with. A man is what he makes of himself. I couldn't agree more. Make the right call and join me again next time.
Just gonna run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.